And we're holding on the second line of Zayin Amud Aleph. Continuing on this discussion, whether you're allowed to do the first Be'ilah on Shabbos. Umar says, Rab Ami, Shara L'mivu Batchila B'Shabbos. So Rab Ami allowed them to do the first Be'ah, and allowed somebody to do the first Be'ah on Shabbos. Amri Le Rabbanan, so Rabbanan asked him, there's a different issue over here, not the issue that we've been talking about all this time of doing the first Be'ah on Shabbos, whether it's a matter of Chovel or whatnot, but a different matter. V'holei Ksiva Ksubasa. They argued with him, the Ksuba hasn't been written yet. So how are you allowed to do Be'ilah? We're going to learn later on Amud Beis, we're going to learn that you need Birkat Erithin to be done. Otherwise she's also as a nidda, but there's also Takana Dirabanan, is you're not allowed to do Be'ilah without a Ksuba. The Ksuba hasn't been written yet. How are you allowing them to do Be'ilah? Amalahu at the Suam Metaltalin. He said to them, you know what, in that case, give her some Metaltalin that she should have them in her hands as a mashkin. As a mashkin until the ksuba can be written, and then she can return them. So first of all, the Ran points out that right. So the Ran points out like this: there were actually places we're going to learn later in the Masechta. There were places where Bechlal in the times of the Gemara, where Bechlal the minhag was not to write out a written ksuba. In those places, the ksuba was a verbal agreement. There was still the same shibud and all, but it was just verbal. Here, obviously, we're not talking about that. Here, we're talking about the place where the mina was to write out an actual ksuba. And he proves from this, actually, you see from this, that evidently there's no problem making the chuppah without yet having the ksuba. That goes back to the argument that we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, what exactly is the definition of chuppah in halacha? Is it what we call the chuppah, or is it the yichud? Either way, it seems from our Gemara over here, but Pashtos, The Pashtus, they did the wedding on Wednesday. We're talking about the first Bia, and we're talking about the first Bia Friday night, but the Pashtus, the wedding itself, took place on Wednesday. It's just he's not getting around to the first Bia until tonight. And we see the Ksuba hadn't been written yet. So evidently, the Ram says it's not a problem to do Chuppah yet without having the Ksuba written. The other question that the Ramban deals with, the question of what do you mean, I pursue a metalplin? How are you able to give him a metalplin on Shabbos? You can't be kona on Shabbos. No, but they were talking about on Shabbos. The middle of the chil of Shabbos. The Vashtas, it's Friday night already. Yeah. So he answers. First of all, in this case, it was for a matter of a mitzvah, in order that they should be able to do the be'ilas mitzvah. So therefore maybe we'll allow it. Or the second explanation he gives is, attack it wasn't. It was Bein HaShemoshes of Friday. So it's too late in the day for them to write a ksuba. It takes time to write out a ksuba. But to be machnas metalplin, that's something, to be machnas metalplin, that's something you can do quickly. And then there's an answer that one of the Acharonim, the Jovim Misharim, gives, which is, what's the reason, Bechlal, why you're not allowed to do a Kinyan on Shabbos? It's because we learned it basically, make them to write. Well, over here, if we're doing the Kinyan Davka in order to avoid the writing of the Ksuba, then he says, Zalderach, like what the Gemara says in Pesachim, that while you're busy searching for Chometz, you know, if you end up searching for Chometz during Pesach, because you didn't do it before Pesach, we're not worried that while you're searching for it, you're gonna come to eat it, because you're busy trying to be Mavirat, you're not going to all of a sudden forget and eat it. The same idea over here. If you're Davka making Kinyan to avoid writing, you're not all of a sudden going to forget and write. Another case, Rav Zvid Shara L'mivel B'tchila B'Shabbos. Rav Zvid allowed a chassan to do the first Be'ilah on Shabbos. Ikadabri, another version, is Rav Zvid Gufei Baal B'tchila B'Shabbos. That Rav Zvid himself actually did that, L'maisa. He himself got married and did the first Be'ilah Friday night. Another case, Rav Yehuda Shara L'mivel B'tchila B'yomtev. Rav Yehuda one time gave a chassan a heter to do the Be'ilah the first time on Yomtev night. And Amar Papi Mishmei Derava, Loi Tema B'yomtiv D'Shari HaBashabbos Also. You shouldn't think that the implication is maybe that Rabbi Yehuda held it's Mutter on Yomtiv, but it's also on Shabbos. No, Dehua did not fill up a Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda would hold that it's Mutter on Shabbos as well. Dehua did not fill up a Shabbos Nami Shari. It would be Mutter on Shabbos as well. It so happened in this case that the wedding took place shortly before Yomtiv, and therefore the first Be'ilah was going to be Yomtiv night. On the other hand, Rapapa Mishmei Deraba Amar, no, B'yomtev Shari B'Shabbos also. As a matter of fact, yes, we could say that it's Mutter on Yomtev, the first Be'ilah, but it's also on Shabbos. Which, Amar Le Rapapi the Rapapa, my Daitcha. So what makes you think that there should be a difference between Yomtev and Shabbos? You're going to say, Mitoich Shehutra Chabur L'Tzorech, Hutra Nami Shaloi L'Tzorech. You're going to argue that it's a matter of Mitoich, which we learned back in Beitza. That the Bishilo, Bechlal, we learn over there, for example, we learn in a Mishnah in Beitza that Machloek is the Shama Bishilo, we know you're allowed to do Malachas Eichel Nefesh on Yom Tov, so among other things, you're allowed to do Haitzah V'Achnasa of food. The Shammai holds only food. They say you're not allowed to take out a cotton or a lulav or a sefer Torah to Rosh Hashanah, but Sila says it's mutter. Why? The Gemara explains it's mitoich. Mitoich shorutz rel tzarech, hutz renami shalay tzarech. So what are you going to argue? Because making a chabura in the sense of when you're allowed to shecht on Yom Tov. So making a chabura is allowed tzarech, therefore hutz renami shalay tzarech, therefore you're going to argue maybe therefore it's also allowed if you're doing it not for purposes of food. Elamayata, by that logic, mutalas is mugma v'yamta. By that logic, you should be allowed to make mugma, to burn spices on the coals over there to make a nice smell in the room. Same idea. Once you're allowed to make a fire l'tzarech for cooking food, then you're allowed to shalei l'tzarech for other purposes such as mugma. Amalei, so the Papa answers him, alecha amakra, to answer you, like to say, but Davka, the Torah had anticipated your argument and give the pasuk specifically to refute it. The pasuk says, "Achashe yachal l'chol nefesh," meaning "davar hashav l'chol nefesh." It has to be something that's equally used by everybody. So only something. So be'ila, Rashi says, is shavah l'chol. Everybody does be'ila. Mugmer is something that only mufunakim, only rich pampered people do. Tosfos, by the way, discusses that. So what was her papi's havam, you know? And the answer is that he thought that, you know what, when Basilil was saying that you're allowed to do hotzav achnas on Yom Tov, he thought maybe it's not a matter of mitoich. He thought maybe hotzav achnas is a special thing. The Gemara mentions we learned in Beitza and I think also in Eruvin and some other places a machlokes whether the whole concept of Eruv v'hotzah exists. We learned actually the machlokes whether it exists on Yom Kippur. There's a day that it doesn't. The halacha is it does. There's also a similar machlokes whether it applies to Yom Tov. So you could say Bitzilul holds, or Faket, they hold it doesn't. They would hold there's no malacha of hotzah b'chlal on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, there's only 38 malachas that are also, some of which are mutter for Eichel Nefesh, some not. But Hetzah v'Achnas v'Chlal is not Shayach to Yom Tov. And therefore, that's why they mention over there about Metzian, but that wouldn't apply, but we would say other malachas, we would say maybe not. Once you're telling me that they apply Mitoich, then why should we distinguish? And he answers him, because the Tzilul does hold Mitoich by Hetzah as well, but they're distinguishing between Shavah v'Chlal Nefesh and not Shavah v'Chlal Nefesh. By the way, this about Mugmer over here becomes this discussion over here about Mugmer is a major source that the post can discuss about the Isser or the Heter on Yom Tov of smoking. How does that compare to the Mugmer over here? Is it something which is Shavah L'Chol? Nowadays is a whole other issue. It's not really Shavah L'Chol Nefesh. But in the olden days, the Reb Yaakov Emden mentioned an interesting thing about that. He said that his father, the Chacham Tzvi, for many years was machmir on himself not to smoke on Yom Tov. Based on this, he felt that it's similar to Mugmer. It's not Shavah L'Chol Nefesh. Until some other Rav pointed out to the Chacham Tzvi, you know what? But you're causing yourself tzar on Yom Tov. You shouldn't be doing that. And so then he changed his mind and started doing it on Yom Tov as well. Yeah, times obviously have changed a lot since then. Yeah. Anyway, well, based on that logic, if you're saying achash yochal l'chol nefesh is only davar hashav l'chol nefesh, only something that everybody does equally, well then elameyata nizamin le'tzvibi Yom Tov. What happens if you get a hold of a deer on Yom Tov? You didn't trap it, obviously, because you can't trap on Yom Tov, but you got a hold of a deer. You got it before Yom Tov, and you want to shecht it on Yom Tov, or it wandered into your house, or whatever. You're going to argue, it's not something that's shavah l'chol nefesh. Not everybody eats deer. It's a delicacy that only rich people eat. You're going to argue, you're also to shecht it. Amalei, so Rav Ashi tells him, no. No, it's not whether the thing is actually used by everybody. You're right. A tzvi is only eaten, as a practical matter, it's only eaten by rich people. But it's something that everybody could have an equal need for. Tzvi, tzorach l'chol nefesh. A deer is, it's meat after all. Anybody needs meat. Anybody needs food. Therefore, it's considered shavah l'chol nefesh, even as a practical matter, only rich people have access to it. Mashenkin mugma b'chlal, people who are not rich and mefunach, never use it in the first place. They have no need for it. They don't miss it, b'chlal, yeah. Going back to this business about the Ilan Shabbos, Omer Rab Yaakov Ba'idi, Hoyra Rab Yechanan B'tzaydan, Rab Yechanan gave a psak din in Tzaydan, that also live Olach L'chilu B'Shabbos. Question is, the Gemara asks on the Lashon, Miyika Hoyra L'Isser, Where do you ever find the expression hara being used about an iser? Rashi says, because what the expression hara implies that the rav who's giving the psak is basing himself on what he heard from his rebbeim. So I'm giving you a psak din. I'm giving you a hara that you're allowed to do this. When it comes to when it comes to asking something, you don't need a hara for it. You're not sure, so you can be machmer on your own das. You can't call that a hara. What? But that's the Gemara's going to answer. But usually we would expect that the expression hara refers to Dvar Heter. And in fact, one of the Rishonim, I think the Ritva, says that the point of the Gemara's question is that it usually, given that the word hara means a heter, how do you know? Maybe Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi misunderstood what happened over here. Or maybe we're misunderstanding. Maybe Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi said hara, that Rabbi Yochanan gave a hara, which would mean laheter, and we're misunderstanding him to say that it was laiser. And the answer is, hey, yes, you can indeed find that you use the word hara for something which is a dvar iser, v'hotnan, and so we learn like that in a Mishnah in Nazir. The Mishnah describes there about Hilmi Hamalka, that she had made a neder that her son had gone off to war, so she made a neder that she's going to become a nazir for 7 years if he comes back safely. He comes back safely, she does the 7 years, then she goes to Eretz Yisrael to bring her karbanis, and the Mishnah says, Harua beis Hillel, beis Hillel gave her Hara, shetei nazira oit sheva shana machiras, that she has to be a nazir for another 7 years, because the nazirus outside of Eretz Yisrael doesn't count, because tumas eretz amun. Tosfos, by the way, I don't know if it's printed on Amud Beis, but Tosfos points out an interesting historical little tidbit over here. The Mishnah tells us, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that Hillel began his Nasirus 100 years before the Churban Bayis changed. Hilmi, Tosfos explains, was actually from the family of the Hashmonaim. Now, not everybody agrees with that, by the way. Josephus, for example, described the family was actually the royal family of Chadiev. They were Goyim who became Gerim. What? She was Jewish, but the question is, Tosfos is assuming that she's from Beis Hashmonai. Based on Josephus, who he tells at length the story of how this family of Munbaz and Hilmi and that whole family, how that whole royal family became Gerim. He explains that they came from Khadiyev, which is basically an area now in northern Iraq, southern Turkey, like near Kurdistan or something like that. But according to Tosfos, they were some family of Hashmonaim. Hashmonaim, Tosfos points out, based on a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, were wiped out 103 years before the Churban. So what are we telling her that Beis Hillel, Paskin for her, who evidently is before that, that she has to be in Nazir another 7 years, if Beis Hashmonai went extinct 3 years before Hillel became nothing? So Tosfos answers that actually when we say over here Beis Hillel, what we mean is the Talmidim, the Talmidim who Hillel had later on, they became Hillel Talmidim and were known as Beis Hillel. At that point, before they were Hillel Talmidim, because he hadn't yet, or maybe even before he became Nasi, he was already living in Eretz Yisrael, and he had Talmidim, so they were the ones who passed in for her. Just an interesting little historical sidelight there. Anyway, the Inami, or here's another example of a Hara where we see that it's an Iser. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Chota Shedra Shenipsik Berubai, if the spinal cord of an animal is broken, is cut along the majority of its length, or not the majority of its length, sorry, the majority of its width, then the animal is treif, the majority of its circumference. Dibre Rebbe, then Rebbe holds the animal is treif. Rebbe Yaakov, I'm out for the nikav, and Rebbe Yaakov says even if it just has a hole, so it's not roiv. And hoira Rebbe to Rebbe Yaakov, and Rebbe gave a hoira like Rebbe Yaakov. In other words, even though he himself held his mutter, but he was machmir and a hoira like Rebbe Yaakov when somebody asked him about a practical shayla about it. Which the Gemara points out, by the way, Omer Avuna ain't halacha k'Rabbi Yaakov. Nevertheless, even though Rebbe himself passed him like Rabbi Yaakov, the halacha is taka not like that. But anyway, we see from these two examples that Hora can mean le'isser as well. Yes, the same thing here by Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok learned the discussion as follows. We said before just that Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi said that Rabbi Yechanan and Paskin often live a lot chilav b'Shabbos. Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok had a different version of this story. Amr Rabbo, Shaw Rabbi Yishmael ben Yaakov de Min Sur asked Rabbi Yochanan in Sidon. Rabbi Yishmael ben Yaakov from Sur asked Rabbi Yochanan in Sidon. Sidon could either be Sidon, which is down the coast from Sur, so in that case they're close by, or Sidon is possibly a town near the Kinneret, in which case they're nowhere near each other. Anyway, Va'anoshami, and Rabbo says, I overheard the question. Mao live a chilav Shabbos, so you're allowed to do the first Be'ilah on Shabbos. But Amalei Osir, and Rabbi Yechanan said that it's Osir. However, Behilchasa, the bottom line halacha, mutter live a chilav Shabbos. You are allowed to do the first Be'ilah on Shabbos. We setting aside all of this that we talked about until now. So we said. So what are we basing ourselves on? So first of all, as far as the whole business of chavruta and asiyas pesach and motzi dam and all that good stuff, we can say in the end the halacha is like Reb Shimon as far as davar sheni miskaven, and either and that you're being mekalkel. So therefore, it's not that you're being mekalkel, or even if you're being mesaken, it's we said it's davar sheni miskaven, and it's not inevitable that it's not psikresha that you're going to do anything, because there may be hatoya, as we talked about yesterday. As far as the business that we brought on dahei shema yishchot ben oif. So the Gemara seems to be ignoring that detail. One thing is we didn't really clearly prove that the issue of Shema Yishchot Ben Oif even applies to Friday night B'chlal. We said it applies to Matzah Shabbos because you're going to be totoed in making the Suda Matzah Shabbos and you're going to forget on Shabbos and Shech, but we didn't necessarily, we said maybe the Braisa also means to imply that the same thing would apply on Friday, but not necessarily. There are some Rishonim who said, and we mentioned yesterday, that there will be a difference after all whether you're going to do Hatoya or not. That if you're not Bucky in Hatoya, maybe you are also. But that the practical halacha though is not like that. The practical halacha is we assume, like we said yesterday, Roy Bucky in Batoya, and therefore it's not an issue. And as far as the business of the Ben Oif also. Some of the Rambam does actually paskin that you shouldn't get married on Friday or on Sunday because of the Ben Oif problem. But Mepharshim explained, that's getting married. Here we're talking about if the actual marriage took place a few days earlier. Nowadays, we don't make a suda by the first be'ilah. So therefore, there's not an issue. If you got married on Wednesday night and just the first be'ilah happens to be Friday night, you're not making the suda. You're not making the suda Friday night. You made the suda Wednesday night. They used to make weddings Friday, right? But the suda itself, right? But they prepare the whole suda Friday. Right, so we were talking the other day that there are Rishonim who say, even though the Rambam says you shouldn't get married on Friday, Lamaisa, there were many Rishonim who said that you could. The Mordechai, for example, talks about it. The Rav Yod talks about the practical reason that it was for the sake of the poor people this way, instead of having to make a wedding soda and a Friday night soda that can combine it. But at any rate, what we're saying over here is, as far as given that we don't make a separate suda for the Be'ilah Rishona, then there's no issue then there's no issue of Shema Yishchot Ben Oif with the first Be'ilah itself being Friday night. So then all that remains is the issue of, so again, the issue of making a Pesach or Chaburah or what have you. We went through that already. We found reasons that it's mutter. And as far as B'chlal, what day a wedding should take place, we said before that if Beis Din sits every day, or nowadays we're Beis Din anyway, you know, you get together an ad hoc Beis Din when you need it, then you can get married any day of the week. And even we said that in Shulchan Aruch it says, even Taka, you get married on Friday, Tosfos brought it at the beginning of the Masechta, even you get married on Friday and Beis Din doesn't sit on Shabbos, but fine, if you have a Tainus Psulim, you'll get three people together and make your complaint in front of them right there, and then that way you'll have a basis for going to Beis Din on Sunday. And besides which, also, the Rana talked about the idea that since nowadays we do Eirusin and Nisuin one after the other, then a big reason for the Tainus Psulim goes away anyway. There's no concern that she was Mizana during that time. Now, next thing the Gemara is going to discuss. So we talked in the Mishnah about the difference between in the days of the week between a Psula and an Amona. Here we're going to talk about another difference as far as the Shevet Brachas. Amar Rav Chelboi, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Abba Bar Zavda, Amar Rav, Achas Psula, Achas Amona to Una Bracha. Both a Psula and an Amona who get married, you need a Bracha, meaning Shevet Brachas. Question, Shevet Brachas, meaning that when I say Shevet Brachas, meaning that you say the actual seven Brachas by the Chuppah. And we'll talk about soon at how many days afterwards as well. Question is, did Rav Huna really say that? That's both a psula and an amona. But we find that Rav Huna says that an amona does not need a bracha. The answer is, like Kasha, kan b'bachor shenasa almona, kan b'almein shenasa almona. One case is talking about a bachor who was never married before, who marries an almona. So then there you need a bracha. You need sheva brachas. Whereas Ba'alma and Shanas Almana, if both of them have previously been married, then you don't. question is, Alman Shanasa Amana Loy. So how could you tell me that an Alman who marries an Amana with a second marriage for both of them, you don't need Sheva, you don't say the Sheva Brachas by the Nisuin, by the Chuppah at all? Well, Amar of Nachman, Amali Huna Bar Nasan, Tana, that we learn in the Braisa, Minayim Birkas Chasanim Basara, where do we learn that the Birkas Chasanim has to be done in front of, there has to be a minion there, there has to be 10 men. Shenema, it says by Boyaz, Vayikach Asara Anosha Mizikne Ha'ir, he took 10 of the Zikne Ha'ir, 10 of the Chachamim of the city of Beis Lechem, Vayim Ashvu Poi Vayashevu, he said, sit here, and they sat down, and then he calls in Pliny Almoni, the Goyal over there, and then tells him, you're responsible to be Goyal of the field and to marry Ruth, and the guy says, I don't want to get involved, so Boyaz goes and marries Ruth. Boyaz Alman Shanos Almana Haba. Now Boyaz himself had previously been married. Rashi quotes from a Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara explains over there that Boyaz is actually another name for him was Ivtsan. He was one of the Shoftim, as listed in Sefer Shoftim. The pasuk says about him that he had 60 children, 30 boys and 30 girls. And actually, the Gemara goes on to say that in the end, what happened was the pasuk mentions that he celebrated the weddings of all those 60. But the Gemara adds, in his times already, Manoach, the father of Shimshon, was living. But as we know from the pasuk, Manoach and his wife were barren for many years; they didn't have children. So until the Malach came and told them they're going to have Shimshon, so Boyaz Ibsan didn't invite Manoach because the Gemara says because he figured over there, you know what? What am I going to invite him to my weddings for when he can't reciprocate and invite me to his kids' weddings? Because of that, Boyaz having been a tzaddik, they should judge him strictly, and all of these 60 children died. Later on, he marries Ruth. He has the one child from her, Ovid, and from him comes Malchus Beis David. But we see from that that Boyaz was previously married. The Medrash actually the Gemara mentions it there in Bava Basra that the day that Ruth and Naomi came back to Beis Lechem is that same day Boyaz's wife died, and they were having a Leviah for her. And the pasuk says over there, Tehem Kolayir, the whole city was in an uproar. What are all the people? What are all the people doing out? That they noticed them coming, and they were all in a to do. That's why, because they were all there for the Leviah. Anyway, so Boyaz is an Almoin, Ruth is an Almona, because she had a husband Machloin, and he died there in Moab. Which Tosfos points out, by the way, she wasn't technically an Almona, because when she was married to Machlon, she was still a Goita. She only became a Geyoris afterwards, which is a whole other controversial thing in itself, by the way. Tosfos holds that way. The Zohar also holds that way. On the other hand, there are other Rishonim and Achronim who hold that she was, in fact, Miss Geyer beforehand. Anyway, the point is, both of them had previously been married, and even if you want to say that she wasn't married Kalocha because she was still a Goita, the fact is she is a Va'ula, she's not a Basula. And you see that you need a minion over there. So you see, you need a minion. That means you need Birkas Hasanim. Because why else would you need a minion over there? Which we'll talk on Amad Beis. There might have been a different reason. But for right now, this is what we're assuming. The answer is, my ena tu'una bracha. Amar Rav Huna ena tu'una bracha kol zayin. You're right. When Rav Huna says that an almona who marries an almon does not need a bracha, we mean you don't need sheva brachas for the whole 7 days. But for the first day, on the actual day of the wedding itself, you do need to say those brachas. But yes, Boaz and Ruth would have needed to say the Sheva brachas on the day they got married, and therefore they needed the minion. There's a mimer from the Alter Rebbe, by the way. There's also various other mimerim, various other later mimerim from the Tzemach Tzedek and the Hillel Parashah, etc., based on it, that discuss the idea why we call it Birkas Chasanim, why don't we attribute it more to the Kala, and why you need a minion over there, a whole long arichus. The gist of it has to do with that the chasen is giving, and it's through these brachas is being mashfia to the Kala, and that therefore you need a minion over there in order to represent the Esser Koichus, the Esser Sfiris. And therefore also the Gemara mentions later on, I think, that the Chassan himself can count as one of the 10, because he explains over there in these Maimorim, the Chassan himself represents Tiferes, and Tiferes is one of the 10 Sfiris. In Kedusha, Esser V'loi Tesha, Esser V'loi Achad Esser, you have 10, not 11. Mashenkin, when it comes to Avelus, then the Oval doesn't count as one of the 10. No. We're talking about when you need a minion also for Birkas Avelim. We'll have later on tomorrow that you need for Birkas Avelim for the bracha they give the Avelim, which we'll talk about tomorrow. You need a minion for that as well, but for that the oval doesn't count as one of the 10. But here the chasen counts as one of the 10. The Gemara asks, Ella Hadatanya, what about this that it says in a Braisa? We quoted this the other day. Shoktu Chachamim Atakanas B'nai Yisrael. The Chachamim were very careful to make things good for Jewish women. Shiyei Sameachim Gimel Yomim, that the Chassan should be rejoicing together with his wife for 3 days. What 3 days? B'mai. Iba Bachar Ha'amat Shiva. If it's a Bachar, whether he's marrying a Psula or an Amona, you said you need 7 days of Sheva Brachas. Iba Alman Ha'amat Yom Echad. And if you're saying it's an Alma and Shanas Almana, then you need only 1 day. The answer is, one possibility is it means when it comes to an almon who was previously married, only 1 day that you actually say the 7 brachas, but then you need 3 whole days of simcha, 3 whole days when he doesn't go to work and spend time with his new kala. Or you could say that it means when a bachur marries a wife, you need 7 days of sheva brachas, but you only need 3 days of simcha with an almana. So now, the various Rishonim talk about, what is the Gemara giving over here two mutually exclusive answers, or do both of them go together? In other words, there's no question if a bachur marries a psula, then there's no question you have sheva brachas and you have seven full days of sheva brachas and 7 days of simcha. If it's an alma and shenas almana, then we're saying over here you need 1 day of sheva brachas and so that's the question over here. Are we saying then that an alma and shenas almana you need 3 days of simcha, but maybe and also a bachur who marries an almana also you need only 3 days for simcha, or is it that with a bachur you always need 7 days for simcha, depending whether it's an almana or not you need either 3 or 7. The actual halacha is that both answers of Gemara are not mutually exclusive. Both of them are la halacha. So when it comes to Bachar Shanas Absula, you have 7 days. When it comes to Alman Shanas Almana, you have 1 day of the when you say the brachas, but 3 days of simcha. And in each of the other two cases, you have 7 days of simcha. However, it's brought in Tzfarim, it's brought in Poskim, that nowadays we're generally not knowing in the 3 days of Simcha by Alman Shanas Almana, because the wife has the right to be Moichel on those days of Simcha, and we assume by Alman Shanas Almana that she's Moichel on it. So for example, nowadays in Alman Shanas Almana, we know, for example, a Chassan, we know when a Chassan is in Shul for the whole 7 days of Sheva Brachas, we don't say Tachnun, but Alman Shanas Almana, we don't. We only do it for the 1 day of the wedding itself. After that, we continue saying Tachnun when he's around. Also, the Alman Shanas Almana goes back to work after the first day. Usually, he doesn't take off work the whole 7 days like by a Bachar. Mefarshim also explained the difference is that why should there be a difference between the number of days of brachas and the number of days of simcha? Is basically the number of days of brachas, the number of days when we make sheva brachas and say the brachas is more for the chassan. So therefore, it more depends on whether the chassan has a greater simcha over here, whether he's a bachur who's never been married before, or whether he's an alman where this is already a second marriage for him. The simcha is more for the wife's sake. So therefore, it depends more on whether she's a b'sola or an almana. Absula, you need 7 days, and Amana, you need only 3. Nesvi, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Mevorchel Absula Shivol Amana Yemecha. You say the brachas for 7 days for Absula, if you have Panim Chadoshes, as it says at the bottom of the Amud, and for an Amana, 1 day. Now, my lava fila Amana, Shinitzis Labacher. Lachora, it doesn't matter, an Amana means an Amana, whether she married a Bacher or whether she married an Almon. The answer is loy, la almon. No, it means if an almona marries an almon, a widower, then there's only 1 day of brachas. But if she marries a bacher, you need 7 days. What? Aval a bacher, my shiva. So what are you telling me that if she marries a bacher, then you have 7 days of brachas? Ihachi, listen to me, vorchen the psula shiva, la almona, shenisis the bacher shiva, or la almona yemechad. Then the brachas should be more specific. A psula, you always do 7 days. And almona, it depends whether she marries a bacher or whether she marries an almon. The answer is milsa psikta katani, because the Braisa just wants to tell us a definitive statement. Deleka psula debatsu mishiva, you never have a case where psula gets married, we have less than 7 days of brachas. No matter what, whether she's marrying a bacher or whether she's marrying an almon, there's always 7 days. And there's never an almana who has less than one day of brachas. But yes, you can have an almana who has more. Namely, if she's marrying a bachur, then there would be 7 days of brachas. And that's the machkana. Gemara continues, Gufa, Amar of Nachum, Amali Huna Bar Nassan, Huna Bar Nassan told me, Tana, Minayim Birkas Chasanim Basara, where do we know that Birkas Chasanim has to be done in the presence of a minion? Shenema, Vayika Chasara Anasha Mizikna Ir, it says, by Boyaz, he took 10 people from the Zikna Ir, Vayema Shvupoy, and he told them, sit down over here. That's one pasuk. Rababo, Amar Mehacha, Rababo says, I have a different pasuk that proves this. The pasuk says, "V'machelus baruchu elikim." In a congregation, you should bench Hashem. You should bench elikim. Hashem mimakor Yisrael. Hashem from the makor of Yisrael. Makor literally means the source, but it can also mean the womb. So when you're saying a bracha mimakor Yisrael about something that has to do with the makor, namely a wedding, which leads to period berivia, which leads to children from the makor. Then you need to have a makhelus. You need to have a gathering. You need to have 10. Makhelus, Rashi says, hakel means an eda. An eda, we learn from the Meraglim or from whatever sources that it means 10. Tosfos, by the way, points out, I mean, by that logic, but makhelus is plural. Shouldn't you say you need 20? And the answer is because once you have a minion, we never find that there's any minion in having more people than 10. Once you have 10, that's it. So I call the asura shchinta shalya, and there's no greater advantage in having 20 than 10. Again, it says b'roivam hadras melach, but no specific thing about 20. Having said that, though, they quote Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi that the word b'makhelos in Tilim is written without the vav over there, so you can darshan it as if it says b'makhelas, which is singular. But on the side over here, it says, like we said the other day about yadav and yadai, that in our Tilim it says it Molly. So again, a question of Masoda. Anyway, so we have two psukim about this idea that you need a minion for Birkas Chasanim. The question is, Rav Nachman b'hai kura de Rav Abba my darish bay. What does Rav Nachman do with Rav Abba's pasuk? The answer is, Mepoyle l'chidatanya. He uses it to teach us something else. A hoyer of Meir Omer, Minayin Shafilu Ubrim Shbemei Iman Omer Shira Alayam. How do we know that even the babies in their mother's wombs said Shira by the Yamsuf? And that capital, that this pasuk from Akelus Baruch Elikim comes from capital Samaches, which the part of that capital talks about Matan Torah, and part of it talks about Kriyas Yamsuf. Right after this pasuk, you have the pasuk of the Sham bin Yamin Saroidim, which is where the Medrash learns from that pasuk that Shevet bin Yamin started going into the war after Nachshon bin Amminadab jumped in, and Shevet bin Yamin were the next ones to follow him, and the pasuk from Sarei Yehuda Rigmatam, the leaders of Yehuda started stoning them, started throwing rocks at them, like, "Hey, Tachan, what are you jumping in first? We have the privilege first. Our Nasi went first." That's talking about Kriyas Yamsuf. So how do we know that even the babies in their mother's womb said Shira by the Yam? Shenema, this pasuk, Makhelus Baruch Hu Elokim, Hashem Mimakor Yisrael. Hashem is praised from the womb of Yisrael. So even the babies in the womb. The Idach, what does Rabbi Bo answer to that? Im Kain, if that's all the pasuk wanted to teach us, Lemakrum Mibeten, then the pasuk could say, Hashem Mibeten Yisrael. My Mimakor, Al Iske Makor. We can learn from it two things. We learn from it, number one, about the babies. I agree that we learn that from the pasuk. But we also learn that when you're making a bracha, Al Iske Makor, about something which is going to lead to Makor, which is going to lead to period Benivia, that you need Makhelis, that you need a minion. He would say that he would disagree with that. He would say, the Pashtus, he would say that, no, I don't, it could have said Mibeten. It says, but the fact of the matter is, it says Mimakor.
What is he saying? What's the different opinion?
No, so what, Rav Nachman has a different source. Rav Nachman had said Vayika Chasara Anashim. So that's the next question. Rababo Bahai Kroda Rav Nachman my Dorish Bay. So what does Rababo do with Rav Nachman's pasuk by Bayaz? The answer is Hahumi Boyle. He says, you know why Bayaz needed a minion over there? Not because of Birkas Chasanim. That we would learn from Makhelus Baruch Elokim. He needed it. Miboyle Lemidrash because he was going to be darshaning the din. Amoni v'lo Amonis Me'ovi v'lo Me'ovis. Ruth is Dach from Moav. In that time, the halacha was not well known. Even several generations later, in the time of David HaMelech, we learned in Yevamos a few months ago that even in David HaMelech's times, it was very controversial, this halacha. that a male Ammoni is not allowed to marry into the Jewish people, but a female, an Ammonite, or Moabite is. So he had to publicize this in order that he would be able to marry Ruth. So therefore, he needed a minyan for that.
So one thing
they answer about that is because here we're talking about to darshan the pasuk. That you can do even afterwards. He was getting these kanim together to darshan a new diuk in the pasuk, which hadn't been known before. No, Shmuel HaNavi is later. That's generations later. The Gemara mentions in Yevamos when in David HaMelech's time, the Gemara tells us after David defeated and killed Goliath, that Shaul starts wondering to himself, you know what? I mean, who is this guy? Is he from Peretz? The Gemara says over there, is he from Peretz or from Zerach? I know he's from Yehuda, but he's a descendant from Peretz or from Zerach. If he's from Peretz, then it means he's destined to be a king, because we know the kings are going to come from Peretz. Melech Peretz Lachos LaZerach. If he's going to be from Zerach, then okay, I'm not so worried. He's not a rival to me. He'll just be an important guy. And Doeg speaks up and says, forget Peretz or Zerach. He's Bechlal Pasul Lavi Bekal. His great grandmother was a Moabite. And the Gemara discusses over there. There was a whole discussion back and forth between Avner and Doeg about this Ammoni v'loy Ammonis me'avi v'loy me'avis. And in the end, the Gemara says over there that Amasa announced kach mikublani mi'beit Shmuel Ramasi, that I have a Kabbalah from Shmuel Anavi, that Ammoni v'loy Ammonis me'avi v'loy me'avis. And that settled it. Although they still kept on bringing it up and then hurling it up David now and then, every now and then. But here we're talking three generations before that. Yeah. Incidentally, by the way, you know, Medrash tells us that the night that Boaz married Ruth, you know, he married her, they had relations, she became pregnant, and then he died. So you can imagine how people must have been commenting. See, yeah. Hey, Taka wasn't allowed to marry her. Look, you know, the Abishter gave him what he was supposed to get. You know. And it takes generations to realize that, no, he did the right thing. So don't always jump to conclusions, the moral of the story. Anyway. Why? Because if you're going to tell me he's only gathering these skenim together just for Sheva Brachas, what's the point of mentioning that he has to bring skenim mizikniya here? Any ten men will do. Obviously, the reason must be he's going to be teaching a new halacha. So yes, there he needs the skenim. He needs the local basin to agree to it. The Idach, okay, what does Rabbi Boaz answer to that? Not Rabbi Boaz, what would Rabbi Nachman answer to that? He would answer, Isak Daitach Lemidrash Loi Sagid Elav Asara. Okay, but if he's just doing it in order to darshan a new halacha, why if it says you need 10? As long as you have some of this skating. The answer is, Ain. Yes, you could answer, that's not such a big problem. Yes, you definitely need 10 for Sumi Milsa, because you want to publicize the matter. And you need 10 for publicity. As Shmuel said once to Rav Chana Bagata, Rashi explains Bagata means he came from Baghdad. Elsewhere, there's a few other places in the Gemara where this Rav Chana Bagata is mentioned. There's one place we had in Yevamos where Rashi explained instead that it meant that Bagata is short for Baal Agata, that he was an expert in Agata. Anyway, so Shmuel tells him, Puk va'aisi li be'asara, go out and bring me 10 people. The Emaloch Ban Payu, because I want to tell you in their presence the following halacha, Hamazaka la Uber Kona, that if somebody wants to be Mazaka something to an unborn baby, then he's Kona. The baby's not born yet. We might think the baby is basically a Dover Shalai Bala Olam, it's something that doesn't exist yet, therefore he doesn't have the ability to be Kona yet. No, we're saying that he does. Either because Shmuel considers that the Uber is Bala Olam, either he considers he does already exist in the world since he's in his mother's womb, or he considers that there's no issue of Machna Java Shalai Bala Olam. We learned in Yevamos actually the Gemara had mentioned a bunch of Tanoim and Amaroim who held that you can be Machna Java Shalai Bala Olam. By the way, somebody says that the connection that this connects with what we were saying before. Why is an Uber considered important enough that he can be kind of something? Because we see the Uberim even had a Matzius by Kriyas Yamsov. They said Shirab im Eyimam. Therefore, you see that an Uber already has a Matzius. Anyway, so the point is that Shmuel wanted 10 people there when he teaches the din in order that it should get publicity. So the same thing, yes. According to Rav Abo, we would argue that Boaz needed ten skenim over there. He needed skenim because he was going to be teaching a halacha, not because of sheva brachos necessarily, but because he wanted to teach a halacha. And why daf for 10 to be mefarsim it? By chalitza, you need 5. There you only need 5. However, the Gemara points out, however, the bottom line halacha is not like what Shmuel said, that in fact, if somebody is mezakah something to an unborn baby, he's not kaina. What? Mezakah means that he transfers ownership of something to an unborn baby. He's not kaina, the baby doesn't acquire it. He's not born yet. He's not able to acquire anything yet. Which, by the way, we see from that, same idea then. Boaz also thought to have 10 people over there to publicize Ammoni v'lay Ammonis me'avi v'lay me'avis. But we see 3 generations later it had been forgotten, and until Amasa had to explain that we learned from Shmuel that this is halacha. So the same thing over here. Shmuel, the Amora, said it's halacha in the presence of 10 people, but nevertheless, in the end, the halacha is not like that. We learn in a braisa. You make the bracha of chasanim, the sheva brachas, in the house of the chasanim. So Rashi says, meaning when you go into the chuppah. Tosfos discusses, not over here, but there's a Tosfos in Sukkah that the Gilyon Ashas over here from Rebecca Vega references it, that Tosfos wants to say that beis chasanim is a specific place that's set aside for the chasan and kala to be in during the sheva brachas. We learned about such a thing towards the end of Yevamos. We had the case over there where that house caught on fire. So you say the Sheva Baruch is only over there. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm after Beis Erisin Mavarchin Oisa. Rabbi Yehuda says you say these brachas also in Beis Erisin when you first do the Kiddushin. Then already at that point you say all the 7 brachas. Abaya says this din of Rabbi Yehuda only applies in the country of Yehuda, in the south of Eretz Yisrael. Because the minhag there was, we'll learn more about it later in the perek, in Yehuda, the minhag was that after a chas and kala did kedushin, they would do yichud. They wouldn't do like we do, we wait till after the chuppah to do yichud. They would have them do yichud even before the nisuin, during the erusin stage. Erusin is the first stage of marriage, after he's given her the ring or whatever and said, Ariat Mekudeshes. At that point, they would do yichud, in order that they should live a gaspa, in order that they should get comfortable and familiar with each other, and that way when it comes the Nisurin, when it comes to the second stage of marriage, they'll be able to do the Bi'ilu Rishona easily. Which, by the way, later on in the Perek, the Gemara goes on to point out that many times they actually would end up doing the first Bi'ila even during that time, during the time of Erusin. The first Bi'ila, the first relations. So the Yerushalmi has an interesting take on it. Why? I mean, the din is, as we're going to quote soon, the bracha of Erusin. The din is that an arus is not allowed to have relations with his arusa. So why in Yehuda were they maple in it? An arus and arusa, a couple who've done kedushin, they're not allowed to have relations. So why are so why in Yehuda were they maple in that? The Yerushalmi brings an interesting idea, a historical fact. The Yerushalmi says, ever since Yehuda killed Esav when he was arguing against Yaakov being buried in the Maros, we know the famous story when they brought Yaakov to be buried in the Maros Machpelah. Esav came and claimed that I have a share there, and they had to prove to him that not. Meanwhile, so the famous thing, the Gemara, so the Babli in Sota mentions that Hushim ben Dun whacked him and killed him. The Yerushalmi says it was Yehuda. And Mepharshim explained that it could be that both are true, that Hushim hit him and stunned him, and Yehuda is the one who actually killed him. Hushim is the son of Dun. Be that as it may, the Yerushalmi says, from then on, Bnei Esav always had a special hatred for Bnei Yehuda. 1,000 and more years later, when Bnei Esav, the Romans, finally took over Eretz Yisrael, they made the gzera that we learned about the other day, that Tigbar Lahegman Chila, that any Jewish woman who's going to get married has to first submit to the Hegman. To the local warlord. So what did they start doing in Yehuda from that point on? They started doing, you know what? Have the Arus and Arusa be in Yehud together. Maybe even have them do Be'ilah at that point. Yes, normally it's also, but in this case, it'll accomplish? This way it'll bring them closer together. That first Be'ilah will cement their relationship. Now if the Hegman comes and tries to grab her, for sure it'll be onus. For sure she won't go willingly. as opposed to beforehand, when she's still a psula, there might have been a concern. Maybe she's not so close emotionally with her chassan yet. There might be more of a problem that she might do it. Which she might do it berotzen. What? A psula is a virgin. I tell you, we can't really be a dictionary over here and define every basic term, Okay. Anyway. So that heter existed in Eretz Yehuda, and even after the Gzeira was nisbato, nevertheless, even after the Gzeira ended, nevertheless, people still continued that. What? So there was right. So actually, the Hamach Shela on Shiltis discusses an interesting idea about it. He said there's two different issues involved. Rashi explains over here that before you say the Birkas Chasanim, the Masechta Kala, which is one of the Masechta Ketanis, says before the bracha of Erusin is said, the Kala is also to her husband like a nida. So that's one thing. So therefore, our Gemara is saying over here that in Yehuda, since they were going to be doing Yichud, and there was a real possibility of Bia as well, therefore they would make sure to say the Birkas Chasanim ahead of time. The bracha of Kiddushin that we say nowadays, but the Sheva brachas, the seven brachas, Shako, Baro, Lachmurda, and the rest of them. And then she becomes mutter to her husband. So therefore, in Yehuda, they would dafka do that after the erusin, even before the nisuin, because that way she won't be also labayla kanida. Second of all, you have the idea that normally an arusa is also to her husband. So in that case, because of the situation in Yehuda, they were matir that one. They weren't able to be matir the one about the kala b'lei bracha asur labayla kanida. Therefore, they had to be masakin in Yehuda that if you're going to have a couple that are arus and they're going to be in yichud together and there may be bia, better we should say the sheva brachas ahead of time. Better we should say the sheva brachas after the erusin before the nisuin. And that way at least we take away that history. The Tosfos Rid, by the way, mentions that in his time the minhag in the Kehillos, if he calls it Romania, and that's not the modern country of Romania. Basically, it means what used to be the Greek Empire, Greece, Bulgaria, parts of Turkey, whatever. That in his time the minhag in those places was that they would do the erusin, they'd do the kiddushin. They'd say all the sheva brachas. Then they'd wait a long while, and then they would go to the chuppah. So that may have been a vestige of this minhag of Yehuda that we're talking about over here. Anyway, yes. Tanya Edoch, we learn in another b'raisa, mevorchim birkas chasanim veis chasanim. You say the bracha of chasanim, the sheva brachas, in the house of the chasan, meaning again either by the chuppah or in that special house that they set aside for the chasan kala for the 7 days. Or birkas erusin veis erusin, but we say the bracha on erusin, the bracha of kedushin, at the time of the kedushin. Birkas erusin mai mevorch. So what is the bracha of erusin? Rovin Barav Adav, Rav Barav Adav, Chavayu Mishmeid Rav Yehuda. So Rovin Barav Adav and Rav Barav Adav both say in the name of Rav Yehuda, the bracha goes as follows. Amri, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvaysav, that Hashem made us holy with his mitzvot, V'tzivonu Al HaArayis, he commanded us about Arayis, about the Issur of Arayis. The Rambam has a slightly different gear, so maybe Lonu Min Arayis or something like that, that he separated us from the Arayis. But also Lonu Min Arusos, he forbade us Arusos, women who are Arus, who only Kedushin has been done. The Hitu Lonu Min Arusos, and he allowed us, those who are married, Ayde Chupa B'Kedushin, to Chupa B'Kedushin. Rishonim quote, by the way, from Rabbeinu Tam, the Nusach that we have in Siddurim nowadays is the Hitu Lonu Min Arusos Lonu. And that comes from Rabbeinu Tam, because he pointed out the nusach that we have over here implies v'hitu lanu asan asuris ayde chuppah v'kiddushin. So what, a woman who's married to somebody else through chuppah v'kiddushin is mutter to me? No. V'hitu lanu asan asuris lanu. The Eibishter permitted us, those who are married to us through chuppah v'kiddushin. Thus far the bracha, and then Rav Acha b'Rei Rava Misayim b'Mishmeid Rav Yehuda, then Rav Acha b'Rei Rava held, also in the name of Rav Yehuda, that you have to finish off with a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadosh Yisrael ayde chuppah v'kiddushin. Now, what's the reason for the machlokas? Mandalei chasim, the first opinion that said that we don't end off with a separate baruch atah Hashem, they hold me. How about birkas peiros, birkas mitzvahs? They hold because basically the bracha that we had up until this point is a short bracha. It's like the bracha that you say on fruit or on any kind of food or on mitzvahs. It's one unit. You have one topic in the bracha. When you say bracha on food, bracha tashem elakenu melech haolam bara priya eit, there's one topic in the bracha. So there's no need to finish off with another bracha tashem. Same thing over here. They argued that the bracha only has one basic topic. Therefore, there's no need for a chasima. There's no need for an ending. Well, man bechasim, whereas the one who says you have to end off with bracha tashem mekadosh yisrael ayde chuppah v'kiddushin, holds midi dehavei kedusha. That no, we should compare it to kiddush. Rashi says, because here we're talking about Kiddush, the Kiddusha of the Jewish people, Asher Kiddushanim or Mitzvayisav, therefore it's appropriate to end it like we do with Kiddush. And why talk about Kiddush, do we? Because Kiddush, the bracha of Kiddush, Asher Kiddushanim or Mitzvayisav, V'ratzabonu, V'shabas Kachivav, V'ratzim Nichilanu, because it has two major topics in it. Number one is that the Eidusha gave us the Kiddusha of Shabbos, and number two, Tchilo L'mikrei Kiddush, what Shabbos is all about. So there's two topics in the bracha, and therefore it has to end with a chasim, a baruch atah shemekadosh Shabbos. So the argument is over here, same thing. This is a bracha of Kiddush as well. It's a bracha of the Kiddusha of the Jewish people. Therefore, it should also have a chasima. Tosafot explains a little differently. It's not a matter of whether it's similar to Kiddush or not. It's just a matter of whether we consider that this bracha has one topic or two topics. A couple of interesting details about the nusach of this bracha. First of all, the nusach that we have over here that finishes off with Baruchat Hashem Kaddish Yisrael Ayudei Chuppah V'Kiddushin, many of the Rishonim held that you don't have to have the words Ayde Chuppah V'Kiddushin. Rabbi Goin, for example, pointed out, somebody asked him about the Shiloh about this, and he answered that for hundreds of years in the Yeshivas of Bavel, we just ended off the Bracha Mekadosh Yisrael. What's the point of adding Ayde Chuppah V'Kiddushin? The Eivish says Mekadosh the Jewish people. The Eivish says Mekadosh the Jewish people in many ways, not only through Chuppah V'Kiddushin. And in fact, there are Rishonim who bring that the Rif originally held, according to the version of the Gemara that we have here, Ayde Chuppah V'Kiddushin, but then he crossed it out. Nevertheless, though, many other Rishonim write that you should say Ayde Chuppah V'Kiddushin, and this is what we do nowadays. One idea is because the Rosh talks about this, is because yes, there is a certain special kedusha specifically in Chuppah V'Kiddushin. The Rambam writes that before Matan Torah, there was no you didn't have to do such a thing as kedushin. You wanted to have relations with a woman, you could just meet her on the street and go shack up. After Matan Torah, there's a concept you have to have kedushin and you have to have chuppah. So yes, it's appropriate to mention that the Eibishter gave us a special kedusha that there's the mitzvah of Chuppah V'Kiddushin. They also talk about why the bracha mentions, we never find a bracha where we thank the Eibishter for asering us something. Why here are we mentioning in the bracha the also lanu asarusei? And also the question is, what kind of bracha is this? We're saying sheva brachas later after nisuin. Why bechalal are we saying? Rashi says when we say v'tivanu al harayis v'asa lanas harusis, we mean midrabanan. The same way as we say asher kedushanim mitzvot v'tivanu on lighting the menorah on Chanukah. It's midrabanan, but it's all part of loy tosser. But the question is, where do we ever find a bracha that the Eibishter asked us something? And also, what kind of bracha is this? So the Rambam holds this is the regular birkas hamitzvahs. You have a mitzvah of kiddushin, therefore you have to say bracha. The Rambam therefore holds that you say the bracha before you do the kiddushin. And this is taka what we do. We say this bracha under the chuppah, and then the chassan puts the ring on the kallah's finger and says harayat mekudeshesli. The Rosh, on the other hand, talks about the idea that this is a birkas haidah. It's a bracha of thanks to the Eibishter. What is it? It's like this, basically, he says. Really, you shouldn't be making a bracha on Kedushin at all because it's only the first stage of things. You should only be making a bracha later on the Nisuin. But it is the first stage of something important. It's not right to not say a bracha at all. That's why we're saying a bracha. But we want to clarify, don't let anybody think that once you do the Erusin, you're already mutter, you're allowed to have relations. Therefore, we make a special point of mentioning, no, but also lanu asarusei. And therefore, we also finish off by the chuppah v'kiddushin. Why are we mentioning chuppah now if only the kiddushin happens now? Because we're saying, when do you become mutter? Only when the chuppah is going to happen after a proper kiddushin. There has to be dafke in that order. And that's what we're stressing in this bracha over here. So that's the thing. So the Rosh talks about why we mention the chuppah first, because we're saying, when is it going to be mutter? Don't think it's mutter now, only after the kiddushin. You're going to have to wait till after chuppah, which comes following kiddushin. There are Rishonim who say that the nusach of the bracha, as we have it here in the Gemara and as we have it in the Siddur, is wrong. It shouldn't say chuppah v'kiddushin, it should say chuppah v'kiddushin. Chuppah that happens through kiddushin. But the girsa that we have is not like that. Yeah.